How many here came believing to receive something from the Lord today?
Amen.
And if you came, you're not going to go out disappointed, because God is going to meet your need. God's going to bless you. And I've been enjoying myself already and sense the Spirit of the Lord among us. Have you?
Yes.
Praise God. If I were to tell you, aside from Jesus Christ, the most important people in the world, what would your answer be? Is everyone here?
Sure.
And if I also would tell you that you are the hope of the world, aside from Jesus Christ, would you believe that? Well, today I want to tell you that the church, you are the hope of the entire world. Because the things that I see happening in the world today, I really see the fulfillment of a lot of scriptures that are taking place. And I want to speak to the church after the service. I want to speak to you especially. My message is going to be on the prophetic word of God, because I certainly believe that Jesus is going to come a lot sooner than a lot of people think. And the title of my message is, It's Later Than You Think. Israel is one of the keys to the Lord's return. Now, I picked out 5 or 6 signs that are happening today that would indicate that the Lord is coming back. Israel is the key. Secondly, apostate Christianity is a second sign. Thirdly, the persecution of the church. There's a war on Christianity. And then there is the next sign, homosexuality. And then the taking of life, abortion. These are the signs of times. And Jesus says, when you see these things, then look up, for your redemption draws near. Now, what is prophecy? Whatever God says, He brings it to pass. That's it. He can't lie. He can't make mistakes. God don't make mistakes. Whatever He tells you, it's there. You can live with that. The Bible is the most trustworthy book in all of the world. And everything that God says, He means it. And He will bring it to pass. Now, I'm going to be speaking to you primarily about Israel. Now, I see 3 things that happened in ancient times, that happened in recent history, and happening right now. And everything is repeating itself. And all of which, God sent judgment. He said, I will protect Israel. Ahmadinejad, or any people like him, does not stand a chance with God Almighty. Now, I'd like us to stand as the customary. We read the word of God standing. And I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. In verses 1 on through 3. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and His disciples came to show Him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all of these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as they went and sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the age? You may be seated. Now, as it was prophesied by Jesus so accurately, Israel is going to be without a city and without a temple. And of course, they were dispersed. And that happened exactly the way Jesus said it would. It happened 34 to 40 years later in A.D. 70. Then the Lord says Israel is going to be dispersed. And in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verses 64 and 65 tell us that he will send Israel to the utmost parts of the world. And where they're going to sojourn and travel, they're not going to have no ease. They're going to be in severe trouble. And exactly that happened. Exactly the way the Lord said it's going to happen. Then the Lord says that I one day, in their dispersion, I'm going to have them return into their homeland. And you are the generation that's seeing this. And it happened exactly the way the Lord said it will happen. He leaves nothing away. Whatever the Lord tells you, he brings it to pass. Now, what makes people think that he will not defend Israel now? God made a promise to Abraham in Genesis 12, 3, 1 to 3. It says, I'm calling you out of or Haran, and I want you to get away from your kindred, your family. And God says, I'm going to raise up unto you a nation. A nation. And I'm going to make you a blessing. I'm going to make your name great. And you will be a blessing. And then he says this promise. Remember this promise. He says, I will bless those who bless you. And I will curse you who curses you. Curse them that curses you. Now, I want to tell you how important that statement means to God. To curse Israel and to bless Israel is like doing it to God. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
That's how close the relationship between him and Abraham was, between God and Abraham. That's how close that relationship was. Now, God is going to carry it out. There's no way this side of heaven that will ever fail. No way. He's done it in the past. He's done it in the future. The little past future, like around the 1930s and 40s. And he will do it again. For example, now, God sent Abraham into Egypt because there was a great, great famine. And what happened is that Abraham got all shook up and said, Well, Sarah, let's say that you are my sister because they'll kill me. There's no fear of God here. What God did is put plagues upon Pharaoh because they took his wife. And God was about to defend that. Then again, Abimelech He went to the city of Gerar. And then Abraham said to Sarah again, "Say you're my sister. Say you're not my wife, but you're my sister. Because there is no fear of God here. They'll kill me." And God came down as they took Sarah, and God spoke to Abimelech and says, "You are a dead man if you touch this man's wife." So God means what he says. He's going to defend Israel, whether people like to believe that or not. He will defend Israel. Then we know what happened in the Exodus. God says to Abraham, here is another prophecy. He told Abraham what will happen in Egypt. He says, you're going to be a stranger in a strange land in Egypt. And you're going to be there for 400 years. And so it was. They were there for actually 430 years. And he says, I'm going to judge that nation. Now, what happened in the Exodus repeat itself in history, then in future events. For example, Israel was prosperous in Egypt. They were blessed. They were tremendously growing as a nation and blessed as a nation until Pharaoh stepped in and said, let us bind them. Let us make them slaves. Let them build the cities. And they took the blessings away from Israel. And then Pharaoh went a little further and said, let us kill all of the firstborn of Egypt. Then one day God called Moses, and he said to Moses, go down into Egypt. And now it was payback. You see, you don't play with the God of Israel. You don't play with the Lord God Jehovah. No one can ever do that and live. You cannot defy the Holy One of Israel. You just can't do it. Now God put 10 plagues upon Egypt, all of which they worshipped as gods. And then the last plague was payback. When he says the firstborn of Egypt is going to die, from the firstborn of his son to the firstborn of his cattle, they will die. You do this to my people, I will do this to you. You cannot curse my people. You are going to be the one that's going to be cursed. Now, I fear for America. Because when Jesus was talking in the 25th chapter of Matthew, He was going over the nations, the sheep and the goat. I want America not to be the goat. I want America to be the sheep. And you as a church, you have to do something to bless this country. You got to go out, and we have to be strong as a church. We've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit as a church. And we have to be willing to be used of God to help this country. Because I want America to be the sheep and not the goat. And there are a lot of things that are happening in this country to take the freedom away, slowly but surely. Now God finally destroyed the last god whom all of Egypt worshipped, and that was Pharaoh, as he was drowned in the sea. And God saved them and brought them out into the promised land. You cannot stand against the Holy One of Israel. Now, I want to speak about Esther. Now, many have read the book of Esther recently, or you know, are you familiar with the book of Esther? Well, you know there is a great significance in Esther in regards to Israel. Even though the word God is not mentioned in the book of Esther, the happening certainly signified that God was there among them and protecting them. Now, God will always stand with Israel. Now, Haman, we all know Haman, right? Haman wanted to kill the Jews. And Ahasuerus, or Xerxes, the king, didn't know that he was referring to the Jews. He got promoted. He wanted everyone to worship him, bow down, and Mordecai wouldn't do that. And said that angered Haman. So he wanted to bribe the king. And he says, I'm going to offer you 10,000 pieces of silver. That's like 346 tons of silver. And I want you to kill these people because they have strange laws. They don't do the things of the Persians. And now Israel became all shook up. The Jews became all fearful. And Esther, the queen, eventually says to the king, I want you to come to a banquet or a party. And I want to make a request. To make a long story short, they made this request. And she says, this is my request, king. Haman wants to kill my people, the Jews. Now, you know what Esther was doing before this? She had the Jews and herself, they were fasting and praying. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, this is what we need to do for our nation. God can send revival. I'm believing God for an outpouring of His Holy Spirit. I believe in God to save Catholics and Protestant denominations. I believe in a harvest of souls that can come in if the Church of Jesus Christ would pray and seek the face of God and pray for the nations, pray for churches, praise God. And I really believe that God is going to save people. Glory to God. So when the king heard that he made reference to the Jews, he loved Esther and he loved her people. He went out and came back in and says, hang Haman. Hang him. And hang his 10 sons. They inaugurated a feast called Purim. Anybody, you heard of Purim, right? Now, it comes from the word pur, P-U-R, and that is an Assyrian word for lot. And Haman cast lots and wanted on the 12th day of the feast of the month of Adar, which is a Jewish month that falls between February and March. And he wanted to destroy the Jews on the 12th day. So it backfired. On the 13th day, he and his sons were hanged. And Mordecai and Esther inaugurated that day, that feast, till today, Purim. Feast of Purim. Yes, if you curse God's people, he will get you. And where did it happen? In Naaman's house. You do that to my people, I will do this to you. You curse me, I will curse you. And then, in recent history, I want to tell you about Hitler. But before I do that, Mordecai was blessed. The Israelites were blessed. Now, what was their intent? What was Haman's intent? To take the prosperity away from Israel. And that history is always repeated, Israel. To take the history away. And Haman was cursed. Mordecai was blessed. Israel prospered. God keeps his word. God keeps his word. And that's why we can always rely upon his word. Now, I want to speak about Hitler in recent history. You know this repeated? I don't know if you follow the stories or read the stories as I did, or perhaps you did. But if you don't know, I'll tell you. There were Nazi criminals that were brought to justice in Nuremberg, Germany, in 1946. They have a court of tribunal. They wanted to make sure all of these nations will not repeat the atrocities that were put upon the Jews in the 1930s and 40s. And the Jews were stripped of their businesses under Hitler. They were stripped of their properties, just like in recent times. They were stripped, they were murdered, they were butchered, they were killed. But now Hitler, do you know that he feared the book of Esther? He literally feared that book. Especially the Feast of Purim. And he says to the Germans, and he says to them, unless we kill these Jews, they will destroy Europe. So that's why they stripped them from all of their land. And in 1939, in Poland, he banned people from reading the Book of Esther. And feared especially the Feast of Purim. What happened is 11 were to be executed in Nuremberg. Now, you know what happened in Nuremberg. That's where the Jews suffered so much. How they were butchered and killed. And 6 million of them were actually butchered. I really don't have really the time really to go into the full details. But these men that were responsible, these 11, stood on trial, and now they were all going to be hanged. One committed suicide, and the other 10 were to be hanged. You know, one cried out and said before he was hanged, he says, I go to God, and I want to say Purim Fest 1946. God brought the same thing that happened to Haman to those Nazis and did it in their own city, Nuremberg. You don't play with God. God meets the dates. You know, the Bible says one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Time means nothing to God. He'll get you one way or the other. Now, Ahmadinejad now thinks he can do the same thing. He's not going to be, as I said a few moments ago, no match for Almighty God. Now, this is what he does for Israel. First of all, Israel is the only nation that he has created and made a blood covenant with Abraham. And he says, Abraham, I will keep this covenant, and it's just not now. It's going to be from generation to generation. If anyone curses you, they curse me. And if anyone blesses me, they blesses me. Now, I really believe that this country was blessed, not because we have a great army and navy, but because we housed Israel and we stood with Israel and God had prospered this nation. But the moment that this country takes their hands off Israel and don't regard them, we're going to see a lot of trouble. And that's where you come in. Because we need to pray for revival in this country. We need to pray for revival. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Secondly, he promised Israel. He says, I'm going to give you a son. And I'm going to call his name Isaac. Now he says this promise to them. He promised Abraham 7 times that he'll give them the land. He promised Isaac 1 time, and he promised Jacob 3 times that he is going to give them that land and it's going to be promised to them. Now, failure on the nation's part in the world to do this can bring World War III. I'm not here to alarm anyone. I'm only here as a messenger of God, a humble one, to tell you that this is going to happen. And this will happen. If we take the land away, same thing happened in Pharaoh's time, same thing happened in Naaman's time, same thing happened in Germany, same thing's happening now. And if God answered the call then, he's going to answer it now. No getting away from it. Now, the Bible tells us that he is going to bring all of the nations that come against Israel to the valley of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat means this, Yahweh judges. Then he says, I am going to look upon that land and I'm going to remember it. And God is going to remember the promises that he made to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. See, God knows exactly what the nations of the world are going to do. But I want to tell you how dangerous we're really, really living. Isaiah gives us, it's like reading the newspaper. Look what he says in Jeremiah 12:14. He says, all mine evil neighbors that touch the inheritance which I have caused my people of Israel to inherit, he will send judgment. Now, who are these neighbors? All you have to do is get a map. And they're all Islamic countries. All Islamic countries. Now, giving God the glory, in the 1970s, I study these things, and I studied about Islam. And God showed me that they are going to be trouble for Israel in the end time. And I preached these things in the 1970s about Islam. What's happening today is nothing new to me. I've studied those things. And I give God the glory. He's the one who showed me. I'm nobody. But he did show me these things. That's what's happening today. Who is Israel's neighbors? As Jeremiah so accurately said in Jeremiah 12:14, if some of you want to take some notes, they are the Islamic nations. Now we all know, if we read the newspapers or hear the news reports, they want to wipe Israel off the map. Do you know there is not an Arab, there's not an Arab nation that recognizes Israel? They don't have Israel on any of their maps. Now Israel, let me tell you the position of Israel. They're making a mistake, but what they're doing is they want to compromise land for peace. But do you know that's not the position of the Arab world? It's not position of Hezbollah. It's not position of any of these countries. What they want is the land, but they don't want Israel. Did you ever read what Psalm 127 says? I am for peace, but when they speak, they are for war. I am for peace. Israel wants to compromise the land for peace. I believe that they're making a mistake in doing that. But the Arab world is saying, what I want is no Israel. Now, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu came to Washington explaining this, speaking again many, many times. They want to destroy us. Now, I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, what's going to happen in this year is that Israel is going to strike Iran. There's no question about it. And they don't need the help of this country. Israel had five major wars, five, and easily won them all. Easily won them all. Because God is always blessing them. Glory to God. Now, I want to bring these prophecies that have happened in your time that will let you know how close we are to the Lord's return in regards to Israel. Now, if you turn your Bibles, if you like, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 21. Luke 21, in verse 28. Let's take the word. Now it says, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws near. What things? What things? Everything that Jesus spoke about, everything the prophets had spoken about, and everything the apostles have spoken about when you see it. So let's see what we saw in our generation that would indicate that Jesus is coming back. A great, great miracle of a nation. Israel was born as a nation in one day. One day. Now, do you want to see that in Scripture? Let's look at Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. In verse 7 and 8. It says, before she travailed, She was brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man child. Who had heard such a thing? Who had seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travail, she brought forth her children in one day. And that happened in 1948. Jesus says, when you see these things, look up, for your redemption draws near. We are the generation. Israel received statehood by the UN in 1948, May 14th. They became free. One day later, May 15th, they were declared a nation, just as Isaiah said. Praise God. And Jesus says, when you see this, look up, for your redemption draws near. Another sign, when they became a nation, they went to other, before they became a nation, as they were in other parts of the world, they spoke German, Polish, many, many different languages. But they didn't have their ancient language. You know, if you read Zephaniah 3:9, if you want to write that down, he says, I am going to give you your language, when they became a nation. And so the Hebrew language that was lost, now they had it back from the first time, perhaps since AD 70. They have their ancient language. Now, do you know what the official language in heaven is? It's Hebrew. It's Hebrew. You just read Acts chapter 26 as Paul was speaking to the Lord on his way to Damascus, and God spoke to him in the Hebrew tongue from heaven. And God gave Israel their ancient language, which is Hebrew, and you are the generation that saw that. Praise God. Then he says, I am going to make you return from captivity. In Ezekiel chapter 37, Ezekiel chapter 37, in verses 10 on through 14, says, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And yes. And this, the bones are the whole house of Israel. And it says, our hope is lost. And God caused them to come out of the graves. You know what the graves are? The graves are the nations of the world. And God brought them out. And in 1948, they became a nation. Then God says, the land is going to be tilled and sown. Tilled and sown. Now, if you go into any library and look what Israel looked like before 1948, it was desert, desolate, nothing. But now it is growing and flourishing. And where it was deserts, now you have streams, you have malls, you have buildings, you have hotels, you have everything. Just as God says it will happen, it happened. And we are the generation that's seeing that sign. Then it says, there's also going to be, as round about you, nations that are going to hate you and want to take that land and want to destroy you. And if you look at Ezekiel 36, beginning at verse 5, it says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, surely in the fire of my jealousy, I have spoken against the residue of the heathen and against all Idumea." These are the Arab world that surround Israel as neighbors, "which have appointed my land into their possession with the joy of their heart and with despiteful minds to cast the prey." Now, what does that mean, prey? That means they want the land. You read that in your papers every day. You hear that all the time. And we are the generation that's seeing this. Then he says, "Jerusalem shall be trodden down by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled." You know, the Gentile world is starting to break now. Because Israel, since 1967, and we have seen them take the city of Jerusalem. And Jesus says, "You will not see me speaking of Jerusalem until you shall say, blessed is he that's coming in the name of the Lord." Brothers and sisters, can't you see? We are in the realm, in the vicinity of these scriptures happening. And we are in the realm of the second coming of Jesus Christ. How right are we with the Lord? We cannot play church. We have to be aware that he is coming, and we have to make ourselves clean for the Christ that's going to come and break through the blue. I really believe that the rapture of Jesus Christ is upon us. And it can happen today, it can happen tomorrow, it can happen next week, or maybe even next year. But we don't know. But the thing is that we need to be ready. Because Jesus says, "At the hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes." Amen. Glory to God. How are we living? You know, it'll happen so quick. People who rejected Jesus Christ and his offer of salvation. Maybe one day they'll knock on churches. Maybe this church. "Open up. Sorry, no service today. All gone. Christians gone. All gone." Then bulletins will come on television. CNN, ABC, whatever. There is a great phenomenon. Graves opened up. Doctor operating on someone, that person disappeared. Happened so quick in the twinkling of an eye. How are you living? If it would happen today, are you sure that you'll go with the Lord? How are you living? When those Jews came into Jerusalem in 1967, they put their hands on the Wailing Wall. And you know what they said? "There'll never, ever be another Masada again. Never. We will defend our country." And they were praying, the rabbis were praying at the wall. And they were saying, "We have returned. We have returned. And never, ever will we ever give up this city." No way. There's another sign. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 24, verses 32 to 35, he says, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender, and you will know that summer is nigh. So likewise, when you see these things happen, know that it is near, even at the door." What? He says, this generation will not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Now, what generation? The Greek word brings race or family. So what was prophesied by Jesus in saying Israel, no matter how hopeless they were, will be spared prior to the return of Jesus Christ. And that happened just as it says it will happen. Then here is another sign that you live to see. You may say, well, is there actually a sign to them saying they're going to cut Israel off? They don't want Israel to be a nation. You know that's a sign of time. You know that's in the Bible. If you read the 83rd Psalm, Psalm 83, it says, keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace and be not still. This is what the psalmist is saying. Hold not your peace. He says, for lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against my people and consulted against the hidden ones. They have said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation. Sound familiar? Come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be in no more remembrance. And who are these people? For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. The tabernacles of Edom, which are really Arab nations. And Ishmaelites, who are they? Ishmaelites, the son of Ishmael. You know where Ishmael, the descendants of Ishmael, come from? The Muslims. The Muslims come from Ishmael. Yes. Now, they said, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel be no more. This is what Ahmadinejad is crying out. This is what the nations of Islam is crying out. That is what they want. They want to destroy this country. Now, do you know what Ahmadinejad is doing now? Ahmadinejad is in the American hemisphere. Why is he there? Well, Argentina, Paraguay, and Brazil, they have their youth being studied for terror against the U.S. See, not only does Ahmadinejad want to destroy Israel, they want to destroy us. That's why they're there. This is why my title is, it's later than you think. Secondly, Hugo Chavez and Ahmadinejad are very, very close. Hugo Chavez will allow Iran to build nuclear weapons to destroy the U.S. because Hugo Chavez is anti-American. They are also in Mexico. The cartels are teaching youth to fight terror and building up cells of terror cells to destroy this country. What has happened? Iran calls Israel little Satan and the U.S. big Satan. How many heard that? You must have heard that statement. Glory to God. Mosques are being built all through Europe.
all through Latin America. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, that they are trying to phase out Christianity. That is why there is a war on Christianity. Europe does not go to church except for the older people, the older group. Anywhere between the ages of, say, teenager to 40, in Europe, they don't go to church. And what's happening in Europe, mosques are being built where churches were. The agenda of Islam is to take over the entire world. Either you join or you be killed. It doesn't matter. That is why, brothers and sisters, as a church, we need to pray and seek the Lord. Now, I don't know how familiar you are with the Monroe Doctrine. The Monroe Doctrine says if anyone threatens with weaponry the American hemisphere, that's really a declaration of war. But Washington does not do anything about that. There was an interesting article in the Daily News a week ago, and what it was entitled to, Dangerous Tyran, which is Iran, and Naive Washington. Now it says, Iran wants to destroy America, the Middle East. What their agenda is, not only to build nuclear weapons, to give nuclear weapons to Hezbollah, to give it to Hamas, to give it to all of these Arab countries. So there will be a nuclear Egypt. That shouldn't be a surprise to no one. With the Brotherhood, Islamic Brotherhood, taking control over Egypt, that's a very easy thing to do. And then Saudi Arabia and Turkey. But I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, Jesus is going to come. And one day, that jealousy and what he made to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob is going to come. And he's going to say, enough is enough. When these nations want to do again to exterminate Israel from the globe, it will happen. Jesus is going to come back. And he's going to save Israel. He's going to come back to Jerusalem. And they're going to look upon him whom they pierced. And they're going to mourn for one as one mourned for their own son. And Israel is going to receive the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. And they're going to say, this is our Messiah. He has come. Praise God. And we as a church are going to follow him. Praise God. And we're going to reign upon on earth. And I want to tell you, there's going to be a shaking of the nations of the world. Yes. And I want to tell you that that mosque that's standing on the Temple Mount is going to be destroyed with the presence of Jesus Christ upon the earth. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But now, church, we're going to go on the persecution, which they're trying to bring a war upon Christianity. And it reminds me how Peter, as when they were persecuted, the church, you know what they said? Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto us that we may preach your word, and signs and wonders may follow. And there was a shaking in that room, and the outpouring of God's power and Holy Spirit fell upon those believers. And I want to tell you, I really believe that the power of the Holy Spirit can fall upon this church or churches today. It's time for the church of Jesus Christ to rise up and be filled with God's power, to go out into the highways and byways to tell people about Jesus. I'm tired of the Muslims crying out, Allah is great. God is great. Jesus is great. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus is great. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My Lord, my God. You know what we have to be doing? Answering the call that God gave us. And what did He say? You will receive power. How many are saved here? A lot of hands went up. Well, do you know you have power?
Yes.
Don't let the devil tell you you don't have power. You have power. You know what Paul says? The power of God that works in you. You have power. And you can go out and tell people. You can pray for people. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, if you're powerful, you will be used by God. The Church of Jesus Christ. You are the hope of this world. You are the hope for this country. Now, if there's any time that we have to bring people to church, get our unsaved loved ones, it is now. Because I don't know how much time God has afforded us. I know these signs of times are upon us. Whether He's given us a week, a month, a year, I don't know. But you can't afford not to bring loved ones here.
Amen.
And I want to tell you, if you do your part,
that's right.
This church will have to go across the street. You will have to get another building.
That's right.
You will see the power of God work. That's the God that I believe in. That's the God that I serve. This is the God of all miracles. God can heal every manner of sickness, every manner of disease, every problem that you can bring. There is nothing too hard for God.
That's right.
Glory to God. Nothing. I'm believing an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this church. You're you. I believe in that souls will come into this congregation. I believe in that people are going to be healed. I believe that the miracles of God is going to be seen. All it takes is us. There is enough people here that can convert Staten Island. Glory to God. And God is looking to you. Praise the Lord. What I want to do is pray now. And I want you to think this one question over. If the Lord would come, am I ready? I'm going to give you a minute or so to think about that. Only you know. But before I do that, I'm going to ask every person that's a leader in this church to come here. I want to pray for you. Now, God has asked me to do this. Pray for the leadership. You're a leader. You do anything here, come. And as I said, that the church is you. God's depending on you. Depending on you, brother. Depending on you, really. Depending on you. You've got to hold up the leadership. And we need souls to come. And we need to pray. And I want to pray that we have the anointing. God gives us the understanding and the wisdom to do this. It's later than we think. Later. It's no time to play church. You are the leadership. We need to pray. Let's hold hands right now. And everyone praying. Dear Lord, you see this leadership team that you have called them and you placed them into this position. And my Lord, my God, I ask a special anointing. Anointing upon my brother. Anointing upon my sister. Anointing upon my brother. Anointing upon my sister. What power! What power! What power! What power! What power! What power! Glory to God. Anointing of your word. The word is powerful, my Lord. And I want the word of God to be manifested in their lives, my Lord. My God, that you will take over them, that they will, you will do a work for them they never believed. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. Makudia Bahai. Makudia Bahandiko Baho. Oh, Jesus. My Lord, touch them. Touch them. Manifest your power to them. Help them to understand of your word like they've never understood it. My God, have your will and way. Bless them and their families. In the name of Jesus. Oh, my God. Oh, Lord, my God. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. And I want to make an appeal to this church. There is anyone, maybe you're not too dedicated, but you want to be. I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat and come and give yourself to the Lord. You're not sure of anything, or maybe you'd rather rededicate your life to the Lord. Please come, everyone. You want to rededicate your life, please come up. And let's pray. Will you? Will you stand now with me, everyone? And just as you are, would you just step out of your seat? Let's pray together. Come. Let the Lord touch your life. Praise God. I'd like to pray for you. I'd like to pray that God will bless you. Don't be looking towards another person. Just come. Would you come right now and just stand with me right here? Yes, sir, come. Glory to God. You want to give yourself in dedication to the Lord. You want to be used of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You're coming, you want to do something. You want to make a stand. You want to be accounted in this country. You want to pray, seek God. You want to believe God for this country. There's no time to be playing. He can come. I stress to you the signs of times that are happening now. And Jesus says, when you see these things, look up. For your redemption draws near. Hallelujah. Oh, dear Lord, my God, you see everyone here. Lord, we pray for the outpouring of your Spirit. We pray, dear God, that the power of God will heal and deliver and set people free. Lord, I'm believing that sicknesses are going to go in the name of Jesus. I'm believing that people who have diseases, it's going to be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Oh my God, I pray that you will use these people in this congregation. That you will be able to use for your glory to bring in souls to pray like they've never prayed. We pray for America, Lord. We pray, dear God, that you will save politicians, Lord. We pray, dear God, for the police department. We pray for the firemen, Lord. We pray, dear God, for the people who hazard their lives. Oh, my God, my God. Lord, let there be an outpouring of your power here, of your spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, my God, my God. Lord, touch us. Touch this congregation. Touch the pastoral team. My God, may they be anointed and filled with your power and spirit. Glory to God. Oh, Lord God. Oh, Lord God of Israel, as you touched in the past, and you opened the eyes of the blind, you healed the crippled. My God, touch us. My God, may people be healed. May they receive power and healed. May, dear God, they be used. May the Word of God be implanted in their hearts and in their lives, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, my Lord, you will defend Israel. No nation can come and be successful. No one can come when you have Israel in the palm of your hand. My God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah! Oh, church, just cry out for a few moments. Cry out! Cry out! Hallelujah! You want to be counted. You want to be a blessing. Lord, make them a blessing. Touch them and heal and strengthen them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah! Oh, Spirit of the living God. Lord, that you are in the midst of us, my God, right now. You are in our midst, my God. Cry out. Anyone need healing, ask God to heal you. The waters are moving. The power of God is here. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I know people are being touched right now, my Lord. I know people are being healed right now, my God. I know that you're dealing with people. You're dealing with everyone here, my God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Lord, you see these people. You see the sincerity of their hearts. You see that they're here because they mean business, Lord. They mean that they want to be used of you. That this church will be a lighthouse in the city. Glory to God. Touch us. Touch us. Lord God, that everyone will not be the same anymore. Because I know the Holy Spirit is upon everyone. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. I want you always to remember me in prayer too. Because I want to be mightily used by God in these closing days. Would you do that? Praise God. Hallelujah. Now you come out Wednesday. I have something that I truly need to speak to you about that I can't do it right now because of time. But I want to tell you the war that's being manifest and waged upon Christianity. And if we don't pray, it's going to happen here. We'll be arrested for speaking the truth. I want to speak to you about the signs of times that are happening that I didn't get a chance to speak to. About the Muslims' agenda. This is not going to go away, people. We got to stand up against it. But I want to tell you, do not be afraid. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You believe that? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We're God's people. We are the apple of his eye. We are his redeemed. You are special. And every one of you have power. Every one of you. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. I just want to, you can be seated. I want to thank Reverend Al for sharing with us this morning. And something he just said, that he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. But I want to remind everybody that, and I thank Brother Al for bringing us up and praying for the leadership. We receive that. But you are the church, not just the leadership. You are the church. You are the church. There's not one. If you are the church, I'll just say it like that. And the other thing is, are you ready? Are you ready for if the Lord were to return? Are you ready? And the interesting thing that came to my mind is that no one is guaranteed one more day. There's no guarantee. So we don't know when the Lord is coming. He could come tomorrow. But we don't know if we're going to be here tomorrow. Are you ready? Are you his? Are you living for him? Are you living so that whatever he tells you to do, you can do? You should all be familiar with the parable of the 10 virgins. There were 10 of them. They all got the wake-up call. They were all slumbering. But only 5 of them responded and were ready. They all woke up, but only 5 were ready. Father, I thank you and praise you for speaking your word this morning. I thank you for your faithfulness to your body. I thank you that, Lord, that you who began the good work in us will bring it and perfect it. And Lord, I just ask your blessing upon your people this morning. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly all, above all that we could think or ask, according to the power that works within us, unto him be glory in the church forever by Jesus Christ, unto every generation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. See you Wednesday.